and a warm welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. On this week's episode, we look back on last week's two matches against Dumbarton and Stranraer, preview this weekend's trip to East Fife, and with the injury list mounting, we'll have an update on who's available for Saturday. Yes, welcome along to this week's episode of the Blue Toon Podcast here on what is called the Blue Monday. I am Colin Byers, and with me to get a bit of therapy to try and get a few things off his chest on this Blue Monday is Martin Smith. Martin, welcome along. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks, Colin. How are you?
Not too bad. As I said, Blue Monday, I don't know if it's blue as in like a physical thing, but like, by God, it is called. My hands were blue earlier on.
It's, I think it was -3 in the car coming home about an hour ago, so I don't think it's ever lifted a hell day, is it? It's never got into positive temperature, so aye, it's fairly cold, and the performance on Saturday didn't do much to brighten my enthusiasm either, is it?
Just as well it wasn't last week, because obviously with the game against Dumbarton on Tuesday, that would have been in danger of being off again, so thankfully that is, but that's, I guess that's just the danger of this time of year again.
Yeah, but we should have a winter shutdown, shouldn't we? Mm-hmm. When you dinner came from the snow, it's going to come, but aye, it's meant to be a chilly one this week.
Yeah, it's supposed to be pretty bitterly cold the rest of the week, so that obviously will, you know, put a dampener on, or maybe even cause problems with the this week's training, which will obviously we'll come on to later. But yeah, that's just another spanner in the works for Ryan and Jordan at the minute.
Yeah, it just seems to be one thing after another, doesn't it? If it's night games getting called off and playing three games in a week, then it's issue with training and injury with players and whatnot, but the joys of being managers in League Two, I guess.
And that's it. Nobody said it was going to be easy for them.
No, that's very true.
Right, so let's get on with it then. Lots to go through as usual. We'll start with last week's game against Dumbarton on the Tuesday night. We'll briefly go through that one. 3-1 it was in the end. It put an end to that the run of three losses in a row. However, it did again, once again, as we said last week, it was another slow start. We got off that a really slow start. Ryan Wallace putting Dumbarton 1 up inside 2 minutes. Although I would say with a slight assist from referee Stuart Luke.
A slight assist. played a huge part in it. Yeah, I think we said going to the stadium on the Tuesday night that it would be important to go off to a really good start. As we said, the Clyde, Forfar, Elgin, it all been games that we didn't really got out the traps early enough and quick enough and got in the opposition's faces. And then, you know, less than 2 minutes in the game, we find ourselves a goal down. Just the way the goal came about as well, I think it's caught everybody a wee bit by surprise. We were surprised it went in. I think Stuart McKenzie maybe caught a wee bit off guard as well. And as you said, the referee's positioning as well is certainly in question as well. But, you know, it was another poor start, and it really wasn't what we were hoping for.
No, positioning-wise, it was completely wrong. I mean, I'm not an expert in referee positions, but normally he would have been at least maybe 10 yards further to his left. He's got to be running at that sort of angled run, you know, for corner flag to corner flag.
Yeah, especially with his linesmen being on, you know, the far side of the dugouts as you look at it. He should have been peeling off towards the left, so that the both of them are not looking for the same angle. It's normally the way that they go with these things. So yeah, his positioning was in question, but it wasn't the first time. It wasn't the only time. Sorry, in the game as well, there was a few times that he seemed to be too involved, too close to the play, and not for the first time this season either. But that doesn't, you know, the refereeing performance doesn't really affect how we started the game. It was just in that one incident.
Yeah. After that, we did have a lot of the possession. Without really creating enough, I think Hamish Ritchie had a volley for the edge of the box for the debutant goalkeeper in goals. Other than that, he didn't really have much to do first half.
No, with a lot of territorial play, a lot of what I would say possession in the right half, and we looked a wee bit nervy going forward. I think given the results and the lack of goals that we've maybe had in recent weeks played a part in that. But yeah, the goalkeeper, as we said, it was his debut in goals as well. I was hoping we were going to test him out a wee bit more considering he'd never played with that defence previously. And yeah, we never did enough of that in the first half.
And it looked as though, I mean, they were obviously quite happy to come up and sit in, and they were marking it really difficult for us to break down, and we just couldn't get the, didn't seem as though we could break them down.
No, once they got a goal up and took the lead, they had something to hang on to. They knew that we had to try and break them down. Our confidence, as I said, wasn't that great. And I think we have become in the last 6-7 weeks a wee bit predictable. I think it's very easy to, if you do your research, you'll notice how we play with a certain pattern and style that the team have adopted just now. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In recent weeks, it hasn't. And I think, you know, Dumbarton used that to their strengths.
It wasn't until the substitutions came on, really, Jack Brown and Robert Ward, they made a big difference. And then we switched to a 4-4-2, Jack played on the right wing, Robert Ward out on the left, and all of it suddenly we were getting in behind both sides, and we were getting the crosses in.
Yeah, once we got the wingers on and was able to try and, you know, get the ball wide and use the pace of Jack and Robert on the left-hand side, it changed our style a wee bit. I think we're too predictable in terms of we go long probably too often for my liking, if I'm being honest. I think we're too reliant on just playing a long ball up, whether it's McAllister there or somebody else. It just seems to be diagonal ball up top and hope to play for second balls. In this occasion against Dumbarton, we got the ball wide, we got in behind, you know, and basically the result of all three goals came from, okay, apart from Jack, so the two goals, the result of that was getting in behind, getting something across the box and, you know, getting a reward for it.
I mean, when Jack came on, he, as I said, he was one of the players that made a difference. But his willingness and his drive and his determination to beat the full back, get to the byline, get the crosses in, was such so refreshing, because there was quite often during that game, the second half, Caleb Goldie, for example, was wide quite a bit, open, I should say, in that area, and just wasn't getting the bar quickly enough to him.
I think Caleb and Jack sort of linked up pretty well in the short time they'd done the park together. I think they both had a willingness to try and get forward. I think when Caleb first came into the club, he was very eager to get forward in that full-back role. He was trying to get into the opposition half and get balls across. And it's the same with Jack. And I think they linked up pretty well. They realised the urgency and, you know, to keep the tempo high and get him behind. And as you said, it was quite refreshing. Jack's got the ball and his first thought is beat the fullback and try and get a cross in. And, you know, it was very effective, as it turned out to be.
Rory McAllister scored the equaliser on 82 minutes, which is quite a relief. A good bit of individual player at the edge of the box. Finished it off well and then got the penalty right on 90 minutes and scored that. And all of a sudden you could see the relief. And they only get an equaliser, but they were determined to go out and try and get the winner as well.
Yeah, 100%. I think you can see the relief of the celebration from McAllister. And he obviously put the ball in the back of the net to level at 1-1, the celebration with his teammates. I think Ryan maybe shot to him the post-match report as well, that he'd in his interview, and he said the relief that came with it. But not only were they pleased to get the equaliser, they showed a willingness to try and go and win the game. They realised that the performance had been decent in the second half, and they used that to their advantage. I think Dumbarton were quite happy to sit in with 20 minutes to go. They were trying to slow the game down, kill a wee bit of time. There was a wee bit of cramp creeping in for some of them as well. And yeah, we got the reward with the equaliser, and then they pushed on to try and get the second.
Jack Brown got the third goal, the decisive goal, had for a breakaway for the inside of our half, and just breaks away for the halfway line, and does the panic, gets a good finish and kills off the game, and gives us the much deserved 3 points, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed that goal, the 30. He sort of ran more than half of the pitch. As you said, great composure for him. The defender was getting back, but Jack knew where the defender was, and it's just a really calm finish at the bottom under the goalkeeper. And I think 3-1 in the end flattered us. I thought we were worthy of the win, given the second half. And Barton didn't really do much apart for the goal, to be honest. And I thought we were worthy winners.
I think they've got affected by the injuries at the back. I think towards the end, when it was still 1-0 to them, That maybe just kind of threw them a little bit, but you know, we pushed and we prodded, and once the changes were made, you could see the difference. And as you said, we were definitely worthy winners.
We didn't have many players on the bench, but the players that did come on, they made an impact. Paulett as well, when he came on, he gave the players a bit of a lift. You could see by Paulett's movement, he's a clever player for this level as well, and I think we'll get the rewards of him, you know, through his 18-month at the club. So, yeah, there was good signs in the second half. You were just hoping we could have followed that up more on Saturday's game.
As you said, Peter Paulett got his debut. 25 minutes he got, which is, I think, slightly more than we might have anticipated, but what did you make of those 25 minutes that you saw?
Yeah, he was good. Like I said, I think he's an intelligent football player. He will use that to his advantage. Just a lot of things. He's in the right place at the right time. He knows how to shield the ball and, you know, maybe draw a foul or when to play a certain pass. I think the players in Abutin will benefit him. Conor O'Keefe and Kieran Shanks, these guys, even Robert Ward, that they'll pick up a lot from Paulett. And I think to get him in League 2 is a really good coup by the co-managers.
Yeah, and I think as well the co-managers have got to be praised by recognising that, you know, initially that the 4-2-3-1, I think they were trying to play, didn't work for a start. You know, Shanks was playing out wide, which obviously doesn't suit him. He needs to be playing through the middle. And then, as I said, once they did make those changes, go to a 4-4-2, suddenly we were the far the better team.
Yeah, as we said, Ryan and Jordan are learning the manager side as well. And it's difficult when you're playing the game as well, probably, to try and manage it. They recognise that they had to make a change, and, you know, they got their rewards for it. We looked a much better team when we changed formation. We brought on Jack and, you know, Robert Ward. They were able to have huge impacts in the game. So, yeah, credit to them for recognising we needed the change and making the right ones.
There was a couple of negatives in that game, and that was, again, more injuries. Conor O'Keefe amazingly getting injured during the half-time warm-up, and then Jason Brown picking up his ankle, or re-injuring his ankle midway through the second half, and that's obviously the negative side for injuries that are already starting to pile up. Those are key players.
Yeah, injuries are a bugbear just now. They seem to be ramping up. You know, 3 games in a week certainly doesn't help us. But the bench is looking very thin. Of course, when you don't have players to bring on, you're relying on players playing 90 minutes week in, week out, which is difficult. We are starting to struggle. Hopefully there'll be a few coming back. I know we've got, you'll play 2 games now in 2 weeks, of a slight bit of respite in terms of we're now playing 3 games in a week. But you're hoping to get a few players maybe coming back from injury sooner rather than later.
As I said, it was the first win after 3 defeats in a row. It stopped the rot. You know, it kept maybe somebody like Spartans, just who are breathing down our necks a little bit, although they've got 2 games in hand. It was 3 points, it was 3 goals, it was a pretty good night on the Tuesday night.
Yeah, it was good. As you said, it was 3 points. It was much needed. It stopped the rot. I think we're, you know, the fixture list that we've got coming up, we're now on paper, the so-called tougher games as well. We've had that run of what you'd say is favourable, Clyde, Elgin and Forfar, and we didn't really do ourselves much favours in terms of if you're going for the league title. If we're quite happy with promotion playoffs, then, you know, we're still right in the thick of it and we're in a good position. But it would have been nice to continue that form of a win on the back of it. But yeah, we're form at the moment overall is a wee bit stuttery.
So that was Tuesday night. That was the win over Dumbarton, which obviously then brings us on to Saturday's game down at Stranraer, the long trek down to deepest, darkest Stranraer. And, you know, off the back of that win and Stranraer's defeat to Elgin the previous Saturday, you were, confident coming into this game, but unfortunately, we've gone down there again and not performed.
Yeah, second time this season, made the long trek down, just have not turned up. As you said, the Stranraer result compiled with ours on a Tuesday night, you had a bit of a confidence thinking, right, okay, we've maybe turned a corner again. And yeah, for some reason, again, we just kind of turned up. Preparation was good. They were doing there the night before on the Friday night. And yeah, for whatever reason, we've failed again to turn up against Stranraer away from home.
We made three changes. Jason was out. Jordan dropped out and Hamish dropped out as well onto the bench. In came Caleb Goldie and Jack Brown and Robert Wald. And you know, those three played well when they came on for on the Tuesday night. And it was set up like another 4-4-2 again, like we finished on the Tuesday night. We just didn't really get going again. In typical sort of fashion, we're 1-0 down within 10 minutes.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a concern. We mentioned slow starts, but when you keep conceding early goals and going to go down, it gives you a massive uphill task trying to get back in the game. I agreed with the changes of the three guys coming in. I thought they were worthy of a start given the performance that they put in coming off the bench on the Tuesday night. Formation looked good, and then again we've now started the game well, conceded early, and you know, Stranraer got their tails up, and once they got their tails up and went 1-0 up, they never looked back.
Chris Johnson on his home debut was the one who scored it, picked up a loose ball and a quick 1-2 edge of the box with Dolan, I think it was, and he plays him back in and you know just dinks it over Stuart McKenzie. I think, to be fair to McKenzie, I think he's slipped as he's come forward, and that's why he sort of looks as though he's collapsed and fan on his face almost, kind of thing. But I'm going to pick out Andy McCarthy in this one as well, because if you look at that back at the footage, he follows, you know, Johnston most of the way, and then suddenly when he gets to the 18-yard line, he just stops his run, he stops tracking him.
Yeah, I think the whole build-up, I think it was 6 or 7 passes, and the from there, I can't remember if it was their goalkeeper or their centre-half, up until the ball going in the back of the net. And apart from Andy McCarthy, nobody really got close to any of the Stranraer players. I think we were a yard off it. Now, whether this is the three games in a week catching up, I don't know. But, yeah, I think that goal there was a prime example of we're just a yard off at the moment. Form's just not great. And with that comes low confidence, and you maybe start self-doubting yourself. And I think the Stranraer first goal, you can pick it apart, but nobody really got close, and we're sort of chasing shadows. We're sort of looking at the player that's just played the pass rather than looking at the player that's receiving the pass. You know, prime example, Ryan Strachan is about 10 yards away from the boy who's played it in, and then we've got Danny trying to run across and cover it. Just, yeah, we were caught out a wee bit. It was a good move by Stranraer, but from our point of view, very disappointing to concede that goal.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Ryan post-match and saying that there's a lack of discipline, I think was the word he used, when we go a goal behind. And that is a worrying thing, because with that comes the lack of confidence as well.
Yeah, and it's quite refreshing to hear him saying that in an interview. Kind of, he's admitted that there's a lack of discipline, which I'm surprised at, because when you look at the squad, you look around about it, you've got, you know, off the top of my head, you've got Jason Brown, you've got Stuart McKenzie, Ryan Strachan, Andy McCarthy, experienced players, guys that have been around, they came, you know, they're not just coming through and breaking into the ranks, they're good, experienced professionals. And you would think that, you know, discipline would sort of come for them, and they would set the sort of the benchmark of where to be. But yeah, I probably agree with him. Once we go a goal down, we seem to give away cheap free kicks, and then we start moaning. You know, we've mentioned it a few times, you see a few of the players moaning at the referee for free kicks, and they probably are free kicks, but it just sets that discipline and that pattern and the tone. So he's got a point, probably agree with him, but it's how do we rectify it? These are the leaders in the camp, Jordan, Ryan, Jason. You want them to stand up and say, look, we're disciplined, needs to be better, we need to improve on that aspect of the game, and the rest will come with it. So yeah, it was good to hear him say it, but you're hoping there's maybe a wee bit of a harsher word said in the dressing room about it.
Yeah, this is when you're looking for or looking to your senior players. I guess we've got a lot of youngish kind of players within the squad. You know, Danny's still relatively young, Caleb's making his way through the in the game, Jack Brown's relatively young as well, so we need to, Kieran Shanks as well, another youngin as well, so all these kind of guys, we're putting a lot of pressure on them week to week, to looking for performances for them, and maybe try to get them to dig a suit. But sometimes you look at some of your senior players and say, well, are they performing to the levels they should be?
I mean, I get it's a results driven business, and confidence isn't it what it was at the start of the season, and you know, frustration will take over. But these guys have been around they've been around a wee bit. They can't how it goes. It'll peaks and troughs and things when I go for you, and it's how you react and how you deal with it. And yeah, it's only when we really see McGuire go down as well. I don't think the discipline really is that bad when we're leveling the game or we're winning, and maybe it's a psychological thing. I think it was quite refreshing, as I say, to hear him coming out and saying it. But like I said, I'm hoping it's maybe addressed more in the dressing room and in training.
Joe McKee was the next to be added to the injury list. He came off, looks like another hamstring, and Hamish Ritchie came on. Now, this is an interesting change for me, because I thought, well, if Joe McKee's coming off, Hamish Ritchie will just slot into that centre midfield. But it was Jack Brown that moved in for the right-hand side, and he played centre midfield, and Hamish Ritchie played wide right. And for me, I think you get more from Hamish if you play him in the middle and keep Jack on the right-hand side. You know, Jack will probably give you everything, blood, sweat and tears, if you played him in the centre or the wide right. But I just think he was so effective on the Tuesday night on that right-hand side. I think sometimes Hamish needs to be in the middle to, you know, to sort of dictate the game and being more heavily involved. I think if you play him wide, you don't get the same player.
I think if you play Hamish wide, I think you get a player that, dare I say, is very predictable. If you're a fullback, you sort of know that he's going to try and come inside, and you know, try, because as we said, he likes to dictate the game from the middle of the park. So I think naturally he's drawn whatever side he's playing at. He'll naturally be inclined to take it in the inside foot and then come inside and play a pass. And you sort of lose that width again. And again, it goes back to what I was saying right at the start, that we sometimes become a wee bit predictable and we're playing, we go through the middle or it's a long ball. That sort of thing, you know, everything combined together will give you that. So yeah, I'd have preferred Hamish to be in the middle. Really clever player, football and brain, and keep Jack wide. As we said about the Dumbarton game, Jack's first thought was get the ball wide, get the ball to him, and his first thought was take on the fullback. And once you swapped him around, I think, again, we became a wee bit predictable and easy to play against.
I think as well, if you had Hamish in the middle there, you obviously would have had Andy McCarthy alongside him. You could have just said to Andy, right, you be disciplined, just sit in and just let Hamish be the free man, be the creative player that we know he can be. You know, pop up in these pockets of spaces that Sinrar maybe would have left. But you know, if he's playing wide, he's got to be disciplined. And as you said, he does. I don't think he's got that sort of pace to go past people. He's got the skills, but you know, when you see what Jack was doing on a Tuesday night, with his pace to get outside and take on the fullbacks, you're certainly going to get that for Hamish. I'd much prefer, as I said, have him in the centre, be that floating midfielder, you know, popping up in bits of pockets of spaces and see what happens. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
I think if you go back to the purple patch at Hamish Head when he was coming off the bench, I think he maybe did it, was it 3 games in a row, 4 games in a row, start of the season. He just managed to pick up them pockets of spaces in the midfield, as you said, for teams maybe don't have track him, they maybe forget about him. He's just dropped a shoulder, he's picked a yard of space. As I said, very clever football player, really intelligent. He's got that vision. He came charging about him. He can pick out a pass, he can pick out a shot. I just think sometimes he's better there. As I said, maybe Andy could have just held a wee bit more disciplined and allowed Hamish to break forward in the, you know, in between the lines, and that might have suited us better. But yeah, it wasn't to be on Saturday.
It was Hamish Ritchie who got our one and only chance in the first half when Shanks, great work for Shanks, wasn't giving it the ball up. It was obviously just being shielded out by the defender, but he managed to keep it in and find Hamish Ritchie. And I just think he's maybe just a little heavy touch. It's gotten away from him slightly, but in the end it was a good save.
Yeah, and another day he's got a better touch. Credit to Kieran, though, as you said, he isn't giving it up. That's a man that's, you know, he hasn't got many goals lately, maybe struggling a wee bit by confidence, but that's the sort of thing. He never gives up. He's a willing runner. He will chase everything doing that he can. And we nearly got our just rewards for it. A better touch for Hamish. Again, on another day, it's a better touch, and we get an equaliser.
As I said, we didn't really sort of create anything other than that. Stranraer maybe had a couple of bars in behind. I think there was one where he went, came in for the left hand side and got one on one with the goalkeeper, I think maybe bait Scott Ross. But you know, other than that, there wasn't too much. In the second half, And if you think the early goals were in the first half, in the previous games were a concern, this one was a big concern. Scoring within, well, a minute of the second half kicking off, and the game was pretty much done and dusted, because if we're struggling to come back for one goal, we're going to struggle to come back for two.
Not only that, the problem is your half-time team talk that you've just spoken about the previous 5-10 minutes completely goes out the window, because yeah. You've conceded the second goal so early. I don't know if it was in the dressing room, evidently. You'd imagine it was keep it tight the first 10 minutes and then try and really make a go at getting at them. And yeah, you've conceded within 60 seconds of the restart. And yeah, very, very frustrating. And it gave us, as you said, if we were struggling at 1-0, it was a massive uphill task at 2-0.
There will be an argument to say whether it was offside or not, without sort of seeing the you know, a proper sort of camera angle of it to be sort of indecisive, but it did, you know, the amount of space there was in behind them, you would maybe think he probably was, but that's another debate for another day. But we shot ourselves in the foot early doors again in either half, and we haven't really taken advantage of the fact that we're off that 3-1 win against Dumbarton on a Tuesday.
Yeah, if the fact that we came back for one goal down to beat Dumbarton 3-1, confidence, you know, I think Ryan mentioned it in that post-match, he says hopefully that would sort of give the lads the confidence in the dressing room. The goal down to Sunrar at half-time, you can still plenty of time to come back into it, but shoot yourself in the foot. Whether he's offside or not, he's still got a lot of work to do from that position. And I think we could maybe have reacted a wee bit better. Sort of seemed to stop for half a second, maybe a second, and yeah, the flag didn't go up. We need to defend it better, but yeah, to concede so early in the second half, really frustrating.
We weren't creating enough, even if they say, well, if it was offside, that we maybe would have gotten something out of the game. You know, they might have still gone on and win it 1-0, but we just weren't creating enough. I think Jack Brown had a shot. Excuse me, second half that was I don't know, off the line, saved by the keeper kind of thing. Ryan Sarkin did a cross-come shot. Other than that, very little for the Sunrar keeper today.
Yeah, I've touched on that a few times. Confidence is a big thing for us just now, and it's just me sort of going our way, and everything seems to be happening at once, whether it's games, whether, you know, travelling's an excuse as such, but it plays a part. The injuries are creeping in, confidence is low. These things sort of combined together is giving us a bit of a tough time just now, and you're hoping we can bounce back from it, but previously, the fast-flowing, quick-attacking football that we're seeing at the start of the season, everybody's confidence was high for it being a new team, given the season we did last year. Yeah, things just didn't seem to be quite clicking at the moment.
Then we had the red card for Andy McCarthy. Two yellows for him. I don't think there's any arguments with either yellow card for him.
No, the second one is stupid, especially when you're on a booking. Mm. But I've seen them just being a foul, and the fact that it's been deemed a second yellow. But as I said, it's stupid for him knowing that he's on a booking. The area of the pitch as well, it's not like it's on the edge of the box or anything. It's still, you know, it's in their half. I don't think he needs to do it. But again, we go back to what Ryan said: the discipline of the team as well. These are players, and you know, experienced players that you're looking at. Andy's been with us for a couple of years now. You're just looking for these players to come to the forefront, and yeah, frustrating, but you know, I can't blame the referee for sending them off, but stupid when you're already being booked.
Yeah, it's bad enough as it is when you're not playing well, but you know, when you're one of your main players is getting himself sent off, you know, if for no reason, it makes it a hell of a lot more difficult than it needs to be. Ryan did say as well, he in his post match, he called the performance dreadful. That's the second time, as I said, we've gone down there and not performed at all. We've been pretty poor, actually, in both games. Three times now we've played Sunrar. They're sixth in the table, given the performances that we've seen against them. That's maybe a false position that they're in.
I would think so. I thought they played really well up at Balmour as well. In the 3-2 game, I thought they were probably, I think we mentioned it, you know, after that game, that we were lucky to come away with a win. Yeah, I think Sunderland being sixth is probably a bit of a false representation of them. I think they've been good. Whether that says more about us, I don't know, because we've also not been great in them games. But yeah, you probably think they should be a bit higher than what they maybe are.
Yeah, as you said, it's a tough spell that we're in, a sticky patch, you might call it. And as you said, this is something that Ryan and Jordan have not experienced before, so they're learning it. They're going to have to try and learn how to maybe deal with the confidence of the players, the lack of confidence in the players. They're having to deal with, you know, a mountain injury crisis, a mountain injury list. We've now got Andy McCarthy suspended as well. So these are all kind of things that you didn't know how to deal with until you're in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's totally new to them as well. And this is the downside, I guess, of a new management duo at any club, not just for us, at any club. And they will, you know, there'll be decisions that go against us. It's confidence, and I generally thought the Dumbarton game, going a goal down and coming back to win 3-1, might just release the shackles a wee bit of players that were maybe a bit low in confidence. This game's done nothing to help us in that regards. And yeah, as I said, on paper, we're coming up for a tough couple of games as well. East Fife, Stenny, and you've also got Clyde far away from home. It's never been an easy place. So yeah, we're going through a bit of a tough time just now, but this is when the players need to come together, that we need to, a united front, they need to go out there and put on a performance and fight for each other. And, you know, they've got to be together with each other.
Yeah, I've got every confidence that they're going to get a suit with, but at this stage of the game, they're going to need help, and they're going to need mere bodies during this window, even if it is, you know, a couple of loan signings. I know that they say that they don't want to get just players in just for the sake of getting players in, which is all good and fair. But we'll come on to the injuries in a minute. But you're running a risk now of playing players who are maybe not fully fit.
I think if they don't get the help in terms of players coming in, I think we're on the risk of derailing every good bit of work that they did between August and the start of December. Because if you start playing players that aren't fully fit, you then get more injuries, they're out for longer, it takes them longer to recover. And before you can it, the morale of the squad's rock bottom because we're not winning games and players aren't fit to play. So whilst we've got injury, loan signings are good for clubs like us just now. We're struggling. A six-month loan could just be enough to allow a couple of our players maybe a few extra weeks before they come back. But then in March, we're able to pick and choose players that are fit, not fit, etc., etc. So, yeah, they probably do need a wee bit of help. I'm hoping that there's a bit of budget left from somewhere and they can maybe try and get one or maybe two players in through the door.
Right, I'll quickly go through some of your comments after Saturday's game. Start with Keith Leslie. For all that we had the ball quite a lot, there was very little actual creating of chances. It felt like the number of times we just hoofed the ball back to them was alarming too. Caught twice in transition, although the second goal looked offside. 3 games in 7 days is one step too far for the lads again. As long as we stay in contention, I don't think we can get too despondent given the shambles of last year. Graham McLean, needs some recruits, squad too tight for injuries and suspensions, but on a positive, so much better than we were 12 months ago. Wayne Simpson, we need a few signings fast, everybody looked lethargic. After Tuesday, you would have thought that we'd have been right up for this game. I don't think their keeper had a save to make. I'm not sure if the second one was offside or not, I thought it was, but it was another slow start for both halves this time. Yeah, and slow, lethargic was kind of the buzzwords I was sort of thinking of during the game.
Yeah, we seemed a yard off it. Like I said, Keith mentioned it there in his comments another time that 3 games in a week is just a wee bit too much. Probably heightens our argument of needing a few more players in through the door, just trying to help the lads out. Because you don't want to rush players back from injury when they're not ready for it. They need time to recover as well. And yeah, you're hoping that there's not many weeks now between now and the end of the season where we're going to play 3 games within that week.
Yeah, and we're sort of drifting away for the the style of play that they were playing early on in the season as well. I think Keith mentioned that as well. It was back to the sort of hoof barking stuff, and Ryan and me touched on it in his post match as well. That because of the confidence that they're now playing the style that they wanted or previously had been.
Yeah, the style of football was really, really good at the start of the season. And then we've gone into that confidence dropping off a wee bit, and it just seems to be almost like a default setting of get the ball forward as quick as possible, try and score a goal. But then we're making it very easy to, you know, defend against. It's a straight ball or a diagonal, and it's just not really working for us. So the need to, it's easy for us to say here, is it need to get the ball on the deck, play it wide and play, you know, try and play sharp football. If your confidence is low, probably easier said than done. But I'm sure Ryan and Jordan, plus the players, are working really hard at trying to try and get back to it, but it's always not easy to do.
Football's an easy game when you're just watching it, is it?
It's easy for us sitting here saying it, but, you know, if we're putting that situation and we're playing in a team that's maybe not as confident as that they were, we'd probably struggle, and that's why you're looking for your experienced players to come to the forefront and help out.
One final thing for Saturday then was, obviously, we were allowed to watch the game via the streaming because of the blanket blackout wasn't in place at that time. So, fantastic. Streaming for Stranraer, absolutely brilliant. It was one of the best ones that we've seen. Lawrence and Cameron on commentary were brilliant as well, and George on a camera was excellent. So, you know, well worth your £11 spent to watch that game. Obviously, the result and the performance was not great. However, the streaming was excellent.
Yeah, again, another club, seen quite a few of them now in League 2 that have got a very good, whether it's a streaming service or a highlights package, or just in general the quality of content that's coming out. Very well informed, the guys in the commentary as well. Apart for the performance of the team, the result and the day, thoroughly enjoyed the commentary.
Yeah, and you know what was good as well was you were getting instant replays as well throughout the game, so it wasn't just a case, so that was a goal or that was a yellow card or a sending off, whatever it was, and that was it, sort of forgotten about. You were getting the instant replays, yeah, which almost made it feel like a proper, you know, you were watching it on Sky or something like that.
I think what I liked was that you could tell their alliance was towards Stranraer, but it was never too biased to the extreme that you were like, oh, they're watching this. Like I said, it was well informed. You could tell who they were supporting, that they gave a fair, balanced, accurate sort of reporting of the game. So, yeah, really good streaming services from Roar.
And it goes without saying that there wasn't many Peterhead supporters due to that game. However, that maybe been made up by the fact that the game was made available as a stream, and the Peterhead fans at Coonigan Doon probably watched it via the stream, and you know, Stranraer are making up that shortfall via that via the stream.
Yeah, probably. As you said, it's a hell of a long way to go down to Stranraer and back. So yeah, I think the money they probably wouldn't have got for the folk physically going to the game, they probably didn't make up through the stream. And yeah, this blanket thing, it's a topic for another day, but it just shows you that the revenue Stranraer have maybe got through that avenue that they maybe wouldn't have got, you know, had it been another weekend.
And if they can do that for that one game, you know, they've obviously, they're well equipped to, if this ever does, you know, blanket ban does ever disappear, you know, they'll be up there with one of the better streaming services out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, like I said, it was very well informed, really good. And yeah, you can't put a price on, you know, guys that have got knowledge of their club, but also knowledge of football. And, you know, that was evident when it came through in their streaming service.
So well done to them. I've thoroughly got my value for money, my £11. Thank you very much. And as you said, the commentary was excellent for Lawrence and Carmen. So well done to them. Before we move on to Saturday's game, we've mentioned a couple of times in terms of, you know, conceding early goals and, you know, lack of confidence, etc. You kind of, I like my stats. I've pulled out a couple here for you. So we've played 20 games in the league now. In 10 games that we've fallen behind, we have then lost 7 of those 10 games. We've had one draw, and we obviously we had We've lost seven. We had one draw against Bonnie Rigg. We beat Clyde 2-1 early on in the season, and obviously we beat Dumbarton 3-1. But of the other 10, obviously we had the 0-0 against Stenny, so the other 9 games, if we score first, we've gone on and won the game.
Ah, so once we get our noses in front, we're good. Once we fall behind, not so good.
Yeah, and that's most of those, as you would expect, come from the start of the season, you know. But we get our noses in front, we will inevitably go on and win the game. The last 5 games where we've conceded first 3 times have all been inside the 15 minutes.
And that, to me, is the alarming bit.
Yeah.
Where it can only be deemed a slow start, you know, a couple of times, but once you start getting a pattern, like you've just mentioned there, then you maybe need to start looking at, well, are we doing something wrong? Are we doing something different? Are we too naive, too complacent? What is it that's causing it? But, yeah, I think when you sort of break games down into sections and bits like that, then, yeah, I do think we've got a slight issue in terms of the way we start a game.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, that's the trend now, is that, you know, previously we would maybe have gone ahead early on in the game or certainly scored the first goal and then going on to win the games. What's happening now is, or since the start of sort of December, we're conceding first, but we're also conceding early, and then we kind of get back into these games.
Before, I fancied us to score in every game that we played, especially, you know, the first quarter, even in the quarter two of the season. You fancy, no matter if we're playing, who's against, you fancy this to score. At the moment, sometimes I struggle to see where the goals are going to come from based on a certain way we're playing. We've mentioned that we're maybe too direct at times. And once we go a goal down and we start going the long ball and too direct, you can almost see the pattern of going, well, we need to change it. We need to do something different or we're never going to score. And, you know, we rightly praise Ryan and Jordan for getting it right against Dumbarton on the Tuesday. Yeah, we maybe need to hear plan B from the word go.
So the more worrying statistic is the injury crisis and the amount of players that we now have out and potentially could have out for Saturday's game. So obviously on Saturday, didn't we have a number of players missing. We had David Wilson missing, Jason Brown, Jordan Brown, Jordan Armstrong, I should say. Jinky was missing as well. Obviously, we've still got the 2 long-term ones, Kieran Gibbons and Connor Duffy. They obviously still remain out as well. So, you know, and a lot of players missing. We now think that there's going to be another 2 or 3 added on top of that. Obviously, Joe McKee came off. Roy McAllister seems to be struggling with a hamstring as well. It looked as though Ryan Strachan was struggling towards the end as well. Whether it's a niggle or something there as well. And Andy McCarthy's going to be suspended. So out of a squad of 21 that we've got available, obviously we've got 2 players out on loan, we've got a squad of 21, which is you know, a small squad anyway. You're going to have maybe 8 or 9 out and 1 suspended. So you've almost got like nearly 10 players that might be unavailable for Saturday's game. The hope is obviously 1 or 2 of them, that these injuries that were picked up on Saturday are not going to be as bad. Obviously, we're recording this on the Monday. They'll have a week to kind of recover and see how things go. But the hamstrings or calves or anything like that, the last thing you want to do is be playing players that aren't fully fit, because that'll just make the injuries worse.
So are you saying we need to go wear boots for Saturday just in case we get the shout to come on off the bench or anything?
Well, I think that they might play a half-fit player ahead of us, but yeah, we're making light of it, be saying things like that, but you know, as we know, the squad is light because obviously you can see the amount of players that's missing on the bench. You know, we only had 4 players on the bench on Saturday, and one of them was Sandy Wood. All 3 outfield players had to come on for various reasons, and it is worrying. And whether or not all these players will be available on Saturday, is doubtful. You hope maybe 1 or 2 of them will be, but we could be going down to East Fife, you know, with 12, 13, 14 players.
you're saying they're hopeful they're back. They might be back, but they certainly wouldn't be fully fit. So again, it goes back to you risk that injury happening again or being aggravated and potentially missing longer of the season. The only saving grace thing we've got is we're in the January window now. There is a chance to get a couple of loan signings. Again, it goes back to budgets and, you know, how quick can you get players in, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, if there is a bit of a budget there, you'd like to think that maybe use it, or you are in danger of your season derailing completely and, you know, naking a fit enough squad to be able to deal with it. But it is worrying.
So David Wilson, obviously, still with his concussion, obviously going through the protocols means that he, you know, will be probably out for another couple of weeks anyway. Jason Brown, you know, the ankle injury that he picked up on the Tuesday night, that looked like a nasty one. He's obviously been carrying an ankle injury. We're obviously still waiting for the result of the scan to see how bad that one is, but likelihood he's going to be out for that one as well. Jinky had it was hamstring, so I would suspect he's going to be missing again for Saturday. Joe McKee is probably going to be missing on Saturday as well because of his hamstring, but again, all these guys that were picked up knocks or injuries and on Saturday, obviously, will be assessed through the week and see how they get on. Jordan Armstrong might be the one that it comes back in again as well, but he still remains a doubt. And as I said, obviously, Andy McCarthy's got me missing. So you're missing two key players in centre midfield already.
Yeah, the spine of your team, as you speak about, you know, right in the middle of the park, is gone. You know, with injuries and suspensions and. It is worrying that the amount of injuries that we've got, and it's not even like they're similar injuries. We've got a concussion, we've got ankles, hamstrings, little knocks here and there. But, you know, this is the downside of playing three games in a week. Obviously, it's not the result of three games within a week, but it plays a part in it, the type of pitches that we're playing on just now as well. These aren't excuses. These are just, you know, you get heavy pitches this time of year as well, which certainly doesn't help in some players' cases with their injuries. So, I wouldn't imagine there'd be many back for Saturday. You're probably looking at the Steny game for maybe one or two more coming back. But again, that's to say that you get through Saturday's game unscathed, which the way things are going at the moment, there seems to be knocks here, there and everywhere.
And it might be a case that some of these players might not be training this week anyway, that they might have been just kind of given the sort of like, just rest up, see how things are sort of Thursday, Friday, and we'll make a decision then. So maybe the bad weather this week might be a sort of a blessing and maybe give, you know, a few more of them a more of a rest and just, or at least get a little bit of light training. But yeah, it's starting to become a worry when you've got, you know, David Wilson and Jason Brown both missing at the same time. Big kind of key players for us, particularly David Wilson. Before he got injured, he was one of our better players at the back, I thought, and playing well. And to have him missing, it leaves us really. And obviously, if Jordan Armstrong's missing as well, he really only leaves you with four defenders.
Yeah, it's an area of the pitch I think we mentioned a couple of weeks ago that we thought were pretty comfortable, and then before you realise it, Davey's out for, you know, a couple of weeks, then Jason gets injured, Jordan's unavailable. So, yeah, the squad quickly becomes much lighter than what it was had they not been injured. It's tough just now. I think maybe the weather might actually work in our advantage in terms of we maybe can't train. So, again, it gives them a wee bit of a break, three games within a week. It is a lot for the guys to take on. It's a lot of minutes. It's a bit of travelling. You know, it's not easy for them. So maybe a day off of training or a couple of nights off the training might not be the worst thing to happen.
So whoever is in the squad on Saturday and makes the trip to East Fife to take on seventh-placed East Fife. We've done pretty well against them so far this season. 3-0 and 2-0 has been the result so far. You know, circumstances obviously vastly different since those two games. They're sitting seventh, as I said. They're a point behind three above Elgin in ninth. So, you know, they're not exactly just performing to the standards that they perhaps would have expected. Had we if I was more confident that the injuries would be maybe fully recovered, maybe going into this game would have been a bit more confident that we might get something. However, you know, things are sort of going against us a little bit in terms of, you know, the suspensions and injuries. Maybe this would have been an ideal game to play against a team that we've won twice against, and they conceded against, and try and get that confidence again.
Probably, as you said, the injuries been slightly lighter. On the flip side, the players that are playing might be galvanised by the case of a bit thrown together, because it's a team game, but you know, they're sort of square pegs and round holes, which it could well be on Saturday. It's a case of getting just an 11 on the park. And it might bring them together in terms of, well, everybody outside the club's not expecting this to do much. We're confident, plus the injuries, we might do okay. As you said, we've done well against them this season. They conceded a goal. And again, sometimes you get a run against a team that you do well in. So it depends on your outlook, how we might do. But, you know, that confidence has got to go at some point. We've got to, you know, pick up wins, just keep our season going. I think we're now not going to win the title. I've admitted that myself. I think we're done. And it's then just keep winning games. We now just need to make sure we get in that promotion playoffs, and you know, we need to start turning the form round, and here's hoping it can start on Saturday.
So, you know, we obviously know that the four defenders that are available were our back four, and obviously if Jordan Armstrong is available, that might just help things out a little bit. You know, he could slot into a centre half or left back, and then we could maybe push Danny Strachan into a wide right midfield position. But obviously, midfield's going to be the key area. No McCarthy, no McKee. You're looking at, you know, Hamish Ritchie coming in. Peter Pollock might be available for a start. You might need to get 90 minutes out of him, but he might be pressing to play him there. You could have Jack Brown playing in the centre as well. Robert Ward will probably play on the left. It could end up being, as you said, square pegs, round holes, but the players that could be available should be good enough to play.
Oh, 100%, yeah. We've always said we've got the quality in the squad. I'd probably imagine, you know, it would be one of, you know, Jack Brown, Hamish Ritchie, Jordan, Robert Ward. That's probably going to be your four midfield, whether Pollock starts or not. I don't think he'll play 90 minutes. Like you said, you might maybe get a 45 or a 60 minutes out of him and then swap him out for somebody. And, yeah, I think it might be square pegs round hole. My worry would be that we don't have enough players on the bench to be able to rotate boys out. Mm. Like you said, your midfield, you take him in, whether Pollock starts or not. You'd imagine if I were on the bench, whether it be Hamish, Jack, Jordan, one of them would come on for him. So it's one sub used already. And then you start going into maybe the players that are Sulcari and Knox, whether it be Conor O'Keefe or Joe McKee. So, yeah, really light on numbers, but, you know, hopefully we can maybe get one or two players in the door this week, maybe.
East Fife, they've got one win in the last five, two draws and two defeats in that run as well. So, you know, they're sort of a bit inconsistent. Nathan Austin, who, you know, a player that we've said in both occasions when we've seen him, has been relatively poor, but coming into this game, he's got five goals in his last eight. We've kept him pretty quiet, as I said, in the previous two games. I think Jason was the one that was marking him most of those times, so it'll be interesting to see if we can keep him quiet. And if we do keep him quiet, does that mean then that East Fife will be, as a team, pretty quiet?
Yeah, you'd think with five goals in the last eight games that he's their sort of main man in a team that's struggling. I wouldn't be expecting many goals on Saturday, and both teams will be wary of conceding the first goal in the game. I think the team that concedes the first goal in the game will maybe struggle to try and get back into it, whether that's us or East Fife. I don't think confidence is a great foot for either side. So, yeah, if you can nullify him up front, I think we'll give ourselves a really good opportunity. But I've still got, you know, massive belief that we can go down there and get the win, even with a depleted squad.
Yeah, depleted squad, depleted team. As you said, the first 15, 20 minutes will be key, because if the pattern continues and we score, I concede early, with the amount of injuries that we've got, the amount of players that we've got missing, then that confidence gets hit again.
Yeah, you don't want the heads to drop. In an ideal world, you go down there, you get an early goal, you keep a clean sheet, and you know, you add to the early goal through the game, and you get a comfortable win. That's the ideal world. But we've got to navigate the first 15, 20 minutes. We've got to come through unscathed, no injuries, then I concede an early goal, and then sort of try and build from there.
And then, as you said, you know, we're trying to build on that and trying to build on the confidence, because the games that were will be tougher. As I said, it's, you know, it's, last week's a perfect example. You know, we've beaten Dumbarton, a team that's sitting in the fourth. Stranraer get beat by the team sitting in second bottom, but then we get beat by Stranraer. It shows exactly what this league is all about. Everybody can beat everybody. We keep saying it, but that's the examples of it. You can't take any game lightly, but we need to be getting these runs going again.
We need to put together a run like we did at the start of the season. You know, try and build on that. Confidence was brilliant. And, you know, we're riding the crest of the wave with the early season form. Things have dipped a wee bit now. We're still in a great position. You know, you folk maybe listening to this thinking, oh, they must be near the bottom of the table. We're still in the promotion playoffs. You know, if you step back, we have had a good start, a good first half of the season. And you're just looking to try and kick on now. I think we're maybe getting too caught up at times with Stenny's good form. They've won 11 games in a row. It's a club record. It's a league. I think it might even be a League Two record, I think I've seen somewhere, or some sort of Fortnite record. But anyway, so we kind of compare ourselves then. We're in a really good position. Things have not gone great lately, but yeah, got every belief that we can pick the form back up.
Okay, joining me now to get his take on Saturday's game is East Fife fan Gordon Henderson. Gordon, good to have you back again. How are you?
Yeah, doing really well, thanks. Thanks for having me back.
Not at all. Good Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, I'm actually away and I've been over in South America for Christmas and New Year, so had pretty good weather, catching the football on the streams, but nicer than the weather back home.
I was about to say, you know, the weather over there would have been slightly better than what we've had, anyway.
A little bit.
does that mean then that you're full of the joys of spring now? Are things looking a lot better now as an East Fife supporter?
Yeah, well, I suppose we're at that point where three games without a defeat is now a sort of serious improvement in how we've been playing. I suppose the last three games, two draws and a win. It's a bit of an improvement. We've actually managed to beat a team from the top half of the table for the first time. I think the major thing is we actually look a bit tougher, a bit harder to beat than we were at the start of the season. I think it was one of the major criticisms that we were a little bit too soft and a little bit too much of a kind of easy beat for too many teams. But I think over the last three games, we really look a lot tougher. You know, we might not be playing exceptionally well, but we look like a team that's at least kind of difficult to play against, which is an improvement where we were.
We're into the second half of the season. How would you sum up the first half then?
I think for us, there's no other way in saying it's been quite poor. I don't think we played terribly in a lot of games, and we tend not to have been beaten too badly. But you know, we've just lost far too many games, closer to the bottom than we are to fourth. Like I said before, we beat Dumbarton a couple of weeks ago. We hadn't even beaten a team in the top half of the table. So, really disappointing. I think in a lot of games we were close to getting something, but you know, there's just too many games where we were close but didn't get anything. So, really poor first half of the season, and I think, you know, we do need to see an improvement definitely in the second half.
Obviously, we're into the new year as well, which really means that the January transfer window is open. Do you expect much business to be done in this window?
I don't. I think we're one of the few teams who haven't brought anybody in so far. I think going by kind of comments the managers made, which is mostly along the lines of, you know, it's tough to bring in the players that he wants, and, you know, the players that he wants, other clubs want, and, you know, we might not have the money to kind of bring them in. So I imagine if we do bring anyone in, it may potentially be sort of younger players on loan, or you know, free agent type stuff. So I don't expect us to be, I don't expect the squad to be looking too different at the end of January.
Is there any areas then that you would think needs to be improved, or is it pretty settled?
I mean, I think certainly areas of the team that I think, you know, over the season, there has been a bit of consensus that we do need improved on. I think particularly looking at pace in the middle of the park, like centre half and centre mid. You know, we've got decent players in there individually, but I think collectively we are, do tend to be lacking a bit of pace in there. And I think, you know, you see it against teams, I think like yourselves, the first day of the season, I think part of the difference was potentially a little bit more kind of energy, a bit more pace. So I think that is something we're lacking, but we do tend to have decent players in there. So, like, you know, for example, Alan Trout, really good player, really good lower league player for a lot of years, and he's got some really good kind of qualities, but, you know, not the basiest. So, you know, I think that would be something that people would quite like to see. Whether we can get the right player or not, we'll see, I suppose.
Yeah, and they're currently sitting seventh in the table, a point above Forfar, three above Elgin, who are in ninth. And we were just saying just before we started recording that, you know, we thought that those two, Clyde and Elgin, might be cut adrift. Suddenly they get a couple of results together, and all of a sudden you're maybe back into that. We're looking over our shoulders again.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I think, exactly like you said, I think Clyde and Elgin were the two teams that you'd kind of pinned your hopes on if you're at the bottom end of the table, that no matter how bad it got, you're probably going to finish above them. Elgin, obviously, they've picked up a few decent results. They've kind of closed that gap. Clyde's still a wee bit further back, but obviously they've made a few signings, and I think the kind of noises out of there are that they're looking to make a few more. Certainly, when we played them on Saturday, I mean, I would say the previous two games we played Clyde, they looked the worst team we played by a mile. And they did look an improved team on Saturday. So I suppose they will have hopes that their second half of the season will be a lot better than their first. So it could well tighten up at the bottom.
And does that, your lack of signings or potential lack of signings, does that worry you that, you know, the two bottom sides are making strides within the transfer market, but you guys didn't seem to be doing that?
I think it would certainly all be a bit concerning, you know, if Clyde make a number of good signings. You know, obviously you think their ability to catch up with us is obviously increased. As much as it would be nice to sign some good players in the window, I still kind of feel like we've got the players there, that we actually have the talent there. It's more just a case of kind of getting the performances out of the players we do have. I still think, you know, we're obviously a wee bit above, we've got a wee bit of cushion to bottom. I still think we have a good enough squad that we shouldn't be too worried about finishing bottom. I think if we do finish bottom, you know, that's a bit of a disaster. So I'm still relatively confident in the squad that we have. I don't think we need too much to kind of at least get a mid-table finish.
On the other side, are you too far away for the playoff spots now, do you think?
I mean, I think it would, if you're looking at it now, I think we're 10 points off the playoff spot, so it would require a pretty good second half of the season from us, and it would obviously require somebody in the top four, at least somebody, to have a really poor second half. So I think from this point on, it would be quite a big achievement for us to hit the playoff spots. Although, you know, looking at it does seem to happen at least every season that, you know, a club who's looking like they're cruising towards playoff spots kind of gets dragged back in a bit. So I don't think it's impossible, but I think it's a pretty big ask, and I think most of these five fans would probably just take an improved second half of the season, a respectable finish, and no relegation dramas from this point, I think.
Yeah. So on Saturday, you're playing a team that's already beaten you twice, and you're having to score against us as well. What are you expecting this Saturday then?
I think, you know, based on the results that we've had against you so far, and you know where you're sitting and where we're sitting, I suppose you should look at it and think it's going to be a tough game, and shouldn't expect too much out of it, and draw is probably a decent result. I suppose in saying that, you know, your own form has kind of dropped a wee bit recently. A few poor results, which, you know, I think from our point of view should give us a bit of confidence to go in that game and think we can kind of get something. Over the past 3 weeks, we have struggled a little bit with, there's been an illness that's gone through the squad and a few players out, and I think the manager was saying that a couple of the midweeks they were training with less than 11 players. So obviously we've had a few problems, but we've kind of ground out the results. And I think if we can get a couple, particularly defence was looking very, very makeshift on Saturday. But if we can get a couple of players back and kind of put out a more kind of recognised 11 and keep the, if not the level of performance, but at least the level of kind of dig that we've shown over the past 3 weeks, then, you know, I'd be confident that going into the game, at least saying it's a kind of 50-50 where, you know, we can hopefully get something, if not a win and a draw. And I think that would be we'd be looking at that as probably a reasonable result.
Is Nathan Austin still your main threat?
Yeah, I think so. He scored on Saturday, and I think probably I've not checked exactly what his kind of goal scoring record is, but it feels like he's kind of maybe coming onto a game a little bit, getting a wee bit more involved, looking his old self a little bit more. So I think he's probably still the main goal threat that you would look at from our team.
And you said you mentioned your form, obviously you're going to go with the positive spin of having three games unbeaten. So form isn't great for both sides. It's set up to be a poor game. Would you take any kind of result with this one?
I think it's one of these games where, you know, give us a draw right now, wouldn't be disappointed with it. I think with it being at home, and yeah, like I said, we ourselves in a wee bit of poor form, I think it's a game that we should be kind of targeting for a win. I think that's the way we should be looking at it. But at the same time, a draw, I think, wouldn't be a bad result. You know, we're in that kind of position where if we're taking a point from teams who are near the top of the table, that's kind of fine, and probably targeting the teams at the bottom for wins. But I think, you know, I'm probably a bit more on the optimistic side. So my view is that, yeah, no reason not to kind of target this one as a win.
Gordon, pleasure to have you on again. It's your hat-trick appearance, so congratulations to you. We will obviously have one more game, so hopefully we'll catch up with you on that one as well. But I'm not optimistic this is going to be a great game, but whatever the result is, hopefully it is a better game than we're expecting.
Definitely.
So that is it for this week. We do hope you have enjoyed it. My thanks goes to Gordon Henderson for joining me to preview Saturday's game against East Fife, and to Martin Smith for being here as always. Thank you everyone for listening and for your comments and questions. Do keep them coming in, we do appreciate them. Martin and I will be back again next week, so until then, stay safe and we'll see you all again very soon.